Free Speech Radio News presents a special Labor Day documentary today. Please stay tuned.
They won huge amounts, both in terms of concrete improvements for Immokalee workers, but also they told an incredible story that low-wage immigrant workers can take on planet Earth's biggest fast food corporation and win. Somewhat like the Zapatistas a little bit. They gave people a model that they can learn from.
On March 8, 2005, in Louisville, Kentucky, the vice president of Yum Brands, the corporation that owns Taco Bell, shared a podium with a group of migrant farm workers who pick tomatoes, which end up in Taco Bell's food. The press conference officially announced a pay raise for the workers and a promise for better working conditions in South Florida's fields. But it was also a defining moment for a greater struggle. A 4-year-long boycott of Taco Bell, an unprecedented strategy of building alliances with students and religious groups around the country, and a focus on a specific corporate entity had all proved that the movement for global justice could organize without a charismatic leader, could allow groups around the country to work with autonomy, and most importantly, could win. But the victory over Taco Bell hasn't resulted in equality for the Mexican, Guatemalan, and Haitian tomato pickers in the town of Immokalee, just as their problems didn't begin with Taco Bell. Today, as the United States celebrates Labor Day, FSRN's Shannon Young and Andrew Stelzer bring us the story of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, their historic victory over the largest restaurant owner in the world, and their struggle to end modern-day slavery in the fields.
Here you can find a lot of people who come around 4 o'clock in the morning to look for jobs. And this is also the main site where the strike of 30 days took place. And this took place back in the end of 1999 as a hunger strike.
On the dusty streets of the town of Immokalee, Rolando Salas leads a walking tour of 50 college students and activists. The pantry, as it used to be called, is nothing more than a parking lot. In most American cities, it would just be a street corner where migrant workers, mostly Latin American men, gather before dawn with hopes of getting picked up by a van or pickup truck. If they're chosen, it means work for the day in some sort of manual labor, usually construction or agriculture. But this parking lot sees dozens of full-length buses pull up every morning. Immokalee, about 30 miles east of Fort Myers, is the farm labor epicenter of South Florida. Crops are picked all year round in Florida, and during peak season, Immokalee's population of 18,000 almost doubles. Due to the high number of workers and the fact that some of them aren't legal in the United States, the pay can sink to below minimum wage. Leonardo Martinez has been a farm worker all his life, traveling throughout the U.S. following the harvest.
We are not living, we're surviving. Getting by day to day on what little we earn from very hard work. Most people aren't interested because they have their own lives. We work hard to get ahead, to bring food to people's tables. We work hard and we enjoy our work, but it's not enough to get by, to feed our families.
A 1994 Collier County study found that of Immokalee residents making less than $10,000, 72% of them use more than a third of their income to pay rent. Workers often live a dozen to a trailer. They receive no health benefits, and in Florida, they do not have the right to organize a union. But poverty isn't the worst of it.
We used to pick in the fields when we were young, you know, when we just got married.
Christina Vasquez has lived in Immokalee for over 20 years.
They were putting the pesticides, and we were going back right to pick, you know, whatever we were doing, and it was dripping, you know, and I used to get sick all the time. I'm surprised that I'm still here, you know, but the crew leader used to bring me most of the time to the clinic because I was so dizzy and vomiting and you know, sweating a lot, and my stomach was hurting so bad. And as soon as I got to the clinic, they checked me and they said that I was okay just to drink water.
In 1994, Christina's husband died of cancer from pesticide poisoning. Only a few months earlier, a group of farm workers began meeting to discuss how to protect themselves from the farm bosses. Christina's daughter, Lupita, was in high school at the time.
In a little office at church, at the Catholic church, they were in there and they were talking about things that were going on in the fields. And I remember feeling excited because of all the stories that I had heard from my parents, you know, about what they went through in the fields, getting arrested when my mom was wanting, you know, they were wanting their pay. And all that to me was something like, legend in our family. And so Nat was like, wow, you know, here is something so powerful, like people organizing themselves again, you know. And then with my father being sick, it was even more meaningful to me to be an ally. I felt like I could take ownership of being a part of the CIW.
The group called themselves the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, or CIW for short. Their early efforts were traditional strikes, which weren't always successful due to the excess of cheap labor available, but the process of organizing itself was making the group stronger.
Coalition!
By 1998, a hunger strike by six workers resulted in industry-wide raises, but those raises only brought their pay back to where it was in 1980. Gerardo Reyes Chavez, one of the lead organizers of the CIW, says around that time the workers were realizing the potential of their power when a farm worker came to the coalition with his shirt soaked in blood from being beaten.
In the case of the beatings in the fields, when we did a march and we declared that if you beat one of us, you beat all of us. This message was very clear, and it was a message for one of the families. It was a family of contractors that were famous for treating bad the people, the workers, and no one wanted to mess with them. But we did, because they beat one worker for the simple fact of wanting to drink water. When we did that, not only them, but every single contractor learned something from that, that they can't mess around anymore if the people is organized.
Political legitimacy was to come soon afterwards when members of the coalition worked with the U.S. Department of Justice and went undercover to expose examples of modern-day slavery. In November of 2003, the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Center recognized three coalition members for their work. CIW co-founder Lucas Benitez was one of those who received the award.
When I say slavery, we're not talking about something easy. There are workers who are forced to work in dangerous conditions. They're woken up at 4 in the morning, not with alarm clocks, but with shots fired into the air, so that they get up and go to work. They're taken around by armed guards and they watch them 24 hours a day. They're kept in fields that are completely isolated. They pay them $40 a week. So when you add it up, they have to pay $15 for rent and $25 for food. Well, these people are left with absolutely nothing. So that's the game, to always keep you in debt.
Debt servitude is a common scheme used to enslave unsuspecting migrants. Debt can be accrued in a number of ways, including smuggling fees, transportation from border zones to the Florida fields, or by deducting room and board from illegal low wages. But Lucas Benitez says that a modern-day underground railroad system has developed to combat the reemergence of slavery in Florida. Since 1997, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has exposed five slave operations.
Freedom now!
At a march in support of the CIW, Amanda Shaner from the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Center said that systematic changes had forced the farm workers to fight for basic human rights.
Well, what we've seen actually in the agricultural industry in the last 20 years in the United States has been with the diminishing of small farms and the increasing corporatization both at the farm level but also at the buyer level with the kind of growing conglomerates of fast food chains, is you see wages being depressed below anything that could possibly conceived of as a minimum. And because agricultural workers are not covered by the National Labor Relations Act, and there are substantial immigration questions as well, you see these people being in a really vulnerable place to gross human rights abuses like we've seen. There have been five major slave ring prosecutions since 1997 alone in Florida, which shows you that this is not simply a question of wages or benefits in a very simple labor union sense, but that in fact it really is a human rights abuse question.
Experience had taught the CIW that to get a substantial pay raise, they would have to look further than the local farm bosses who claimed they were simply powerless middlemen. It became clear that the people getting rich and pulling the strings were at the top of the food production ladder, fast food chains. 45% of tomatoes grown in the U.S. are from Florida, and during the winter months, that number rises to 95%. In 2001, the CIW decided to target Taco Bell, as its parent company, Yum Brands, is the largest fast food company in the world. Yum Brands also owns Pizza Hut, KFC, A&W Restaurants, and Long John Silver's. The hope was that because of Yum's size and tomato buying power, any changes made by Taco Bell would have a substantial effect for farm workers throughout the entire state and possibly beyond.
We have three demands.
Gerardo Reyes Chavez.
One is dialogue of three parts between Taco Bell, the growers that produce the tomato that Taco Bell use every day, and the representatives of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
The next demand is 1 penny more per pound coming from Taco Bell under a contract that will increase the wages almost a double, because farm workers have received the same wages for over 20 years, and we are asking something to put this at the level of the inflation. The third demand will be a code of conduct that will ensure that no violations of human rights are happening in the fields where the tomatoes that Taco Bell is buying are being produced. And basically it will ensure that no slavery is happening in the fields.
The CIW called for a national boycott of Taco Bell until their demands were met, but they realized their goals could not be accomplished alone. 1 year earlier, the farm workers had marched 230 miles from Fort Myers to Orlando, calling for dignity, dialogue, and a fair wage. That was followed by a march for farm worker justice to the state capitol in Tallahassee, an effort to get Governor Jeb Bush to take up the cause of the farm workers who carry the state's economy on their backs. College students from throughout Florida were involved in both marches, and only months before the Taco Bell boycott began, formed a national organization, the Student Farm Workers Alliance, or SFA. The SFA's mission was to work with and not for farm workers. Thus, when CIW members decided to set out on speaking tours, student groups across the country had already been educating their peers, had relationships with the CIW, and were able to arrange speaking events on campus and in the community. CIW member Francisca Cortez talks about the Taco Bell boycott.
We've protested, organized general strikes, more so now that we have our campaign against Taco Bell, where there are a lot of students. It's a food that they eat every day, so they didn't know what was happening. And what we've done is to make all of these folks who consume this product aware that this product is produced with the sweat of workers in Florida.
As chapters of the Student Farm Worker Alliance multiplied across the country, the Boot the Bell campaign gained momentum, and high school and college students at many of those schools campaigned to have Taco Bell restaurants kicked off their campuses or stop them from moving in by protesting before a contract was signed. Bree Phillips is with the Student Farm Worker Alliance. She spoke to students at rallies like this one at Florida State University.
Our age group makes Taco Bell as rich as it is, because it's not our parents that are buying Taco Bell. It's not our grandparents that are going out to Taco Bell every day. It's us. And as Taco Bell's main target market, they are constantly watching us as students and young people to see what we're going to react to, because they can't make money if we don't think they're cool.
The CIW's trips from state to state were called truth tours, with the goal of exposing the hidden truth about the conditions farm workers live and work in. Benedicto Mejia carried 32-pound tomato buckets into churches and lecture halls, explaining that filling that bucket would earn him only 40 cents and that he needed to pick 2,000 pounds of tomatoes in a day to make $50.
It makes it more real for them, because if they see the news on the paper or on TV, it's not the same.
Meanwhile, religious organizations representing millions of their members began to endorse the call to boycott Taco Bell and provided their churches as places for the workers to eat and sleep during the Truth Tour road trips. It was simply a matter of justice, according to Bert Perry from the National Farm Worker Ministry, who joined the CIW as they marched through East Los Angeles in 2004.
The major victories have been the major denominations that have adopted the Taco Bell boycott and pledged their support to see that Taco Bell and Yum responds to the workers' requests, and that's the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Church Women United, the National Council of Churches has also endorsed the Taco Bell boycott. In Florida, where the coalition is located, there have been the Episcopal Church, Southwest Diocese, and many regional bodies of denomination, the Florida Council of Churches. And that has served to get the word out, to carry the message out to all those people sitting in the church pews.
As the Taco Bell boycott gained momentum across the country, the coalition continued to strengthen their presence in Immokalee. In December 2003, the CIW launched a low-power FM station, Radio Conciencia.
Radio Conciencia, 107.9 FM. Coalición presente.
You can get to a lot of people at the same time. It's like having a large meeting.
The CIW's Gerardo Reyes Chavez says the station has become an organizing tool in the community.
When you have a topic that you're talking about, whether it's human rights, labor rights, woman rights, history of other struggles, history of our own story, you are like getting the message out there while you are mixing a little bit of music
a little bit of commentaries just to make the evening more enjoyable for farm workers.
A cooperative store was also established at the CIW headquarters in downtown Immokalee, where workers could buy staple foods like rice and flour, along with phone cards and other necessities. Mateo Bosico manned the cash register, where items were sold at cost, not for profit.
Cooperative, importante.
The cooperative is important because people come to purchase things, and we invite them to our meetings on Wednesday. If there was no cooperative, we'd still invite everyone to participate, but the cooperative makes it easier.
Despite the growing pressure, Taco Bell continues to refuse to negotiate with the farm workers. According to Taco Bell, the fields are owned by third-party suppliers, and there was nothing the restaurant itself could do. The coalition decided to take their grievances straight to Taco Bell headquarters in Irvine, California. Over 75 farm workers and students held a 10-day hunger strike in front of the fast food giant's corporate offices in 2003. The next year, they were back again. CIW members and their supporters kicked off a 44-mile march that lasted 4 days from East L.A. to Taco Bell headquarters in Irvine. Sharda Sekaran from the Center for Economic and Social Rights traveled from New York City to take part in the action. She handed out flyers during the march.
It's in Spanish and in English, and basically it just outlines what the workers are dealing with in Florida, the wages they receive, the fact that they don't have health care, the fact that you have to pick, what, 2 tons of tomatoes a day to earn $50, that they're not getting living wages, that they don't have leisure time, they don't have vacation time, or basic rights as workers.
On its second day, the march was joined by co-founder of the United Farm Workers, Dolores Huerta, who compared the campaign to one she had helped start more than 30 years ago.
Exactly what we did with the United Farm Workers. We took our struggle from Delano throughout the country, and we were able to get people to support our boycott. We were boycotting the stores, and we asked people not to eat grapes, and it worked. And this is how we got all of our contracts. Without the boycott, it never would have happened.
By now, the Immokalee workers had become allied with various groups throughout the U.S. working for social and global justice. Artist David Solnit designed some of the puppets and props, which have become trademarks of the coalition's struggles.
They organize horizontally, which means the membership is involved in making decisions and running the organization, and they call themselves a coalition, so they're not a traditional union. There's transparency and accountability amongst people who take leadership roles.
March participant Anuradha Mittal of Food First was one of many who were drawing the connections between free trade agreements, policies of globalization, and the labor dispute with Taco Bell.
Family farmers in countries like Mexico are being displaced from land as they cannot compete with subsidized cheap grain that is dumped from the United States. And these are the former family farmers who are forced to leave their lands. It is estimated that almost 600 family farmers are displaced from land in Mexico each day. And these are the communities who then try to cross the border, hoping to find a living wage, a life of dignity. And all they find is incarceration at the border, death at the border, or slavery in the fields of Immokalee. So when we join and march with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, it's really a struggle about all the working poor, whether it is in Canada or United States or Mexico, who have been displaced because of free trade agreements.
In the final stretch of the 44-mile march, farmworker and CIW member Pedro Parea indicated the workers were prepared to carry out a sustained campaign.
If it's not possible to negotiate this time, we're going to keep this up. We're going to continue with our struggle until they listen to us, until the executives, the people up there in the Taco Bell offices, hear us out and give us a hand.
By 2005, the Immokalee workers had had a series of conversations with Taco Bell, but their demands were still not being met. This year's Truth Tour would instead head to Louisville, Kentucky, the corporate headquarters of Yum Brands, Taco Bell's parent company. Two busloads of farm workers and their allies set out for a 2-week trip that was to culminate with a mass protest outside Yum's headquarters and a 3-day conference on global justice. But first came a trip through the Deep South. For Chavez and the rest of the workers, visiting the church where Martin Luther King used to preach in Montgomery, Alabama, was a lesson in the struggle for civil rights.
In the past, there were the African Americans doing the same job that we are doing today. And today is Mexican, Guatemalan, and Haitian. Now, that's a systematic problem.
we could go to work to somewhere else. But the problem is going to still be there. If no one stands up to change that situation, then we are going to keep seeing this situation happening to our brothers, to our sons in the future. Somebody has to do something.
There's so many parallels between immigrant workers and like some of the things that they deal with and some of the things that we have had to deal with in the past.
Danae Davis is from southern New Jersey. Her parents used to pick blueberries.
Anytime we want to talk about slavery, anytime we want to talk about civil rights, we can't talk about any of that if we're not willing to go out there for other people. Because when we were going through it, we wanted people to stand next to us. We wanted the people to come sit at the counter. We wanted people to go stand in front of hoses. We wanted people to stand up and stop what was going on.
By now, Taco Bell had been kicked off or prevented from moving on to 21 college and high school campuses. But Taco Bell spokesperson Lori Shallow maintains the company's position.
They've very strategically reached out to college students as well as church organizations and other groups. And we don't like that there are groups of people out there who think that we are a bad company and that we don't care about the plight of the farm workers.
Do you think that they're being treated unfairly?
Who's being treated unfairly?
The farm workers.
Well, as far as we know, there are no laws being broken.
Pay a living wage! No more slaves!
The Truth Tour was getting media coverage at every city it visited, and with only 4 days to go before the mass mobilization, Yum Brands decided they had too much to lose.
I'm pleased to inform you that Taco Bell has secured an agreement with several large tomato grower suppliers in Florida who employ the farm workers.
A joint press conference was held in Louisville. Yum Brands Senior Vice President Jonathan Blum said all of the farm workers' demands would be met.
These tomato suppliers have agreed to pass through the equivalent of 1 cent per pound directly to the workers. Taco Bell will be the first in our industry to directly help improve Florida tomato farm workers' wages. Taco Bell pledges to make this commitment real by buying only from Florida growers who pass this penny per pound payment entirely on to the farm workers. We will work with the CIW and our suppliers to monitor the pass-through for compliance.
This penny per pound raise will increase wages by approximately 80%. Coalition co-founder Lucas Benita has explained what the wage increase represented in economic terms.
A new study by the Department of Labor reveals that the average farm worker earns between $7,000 and $7,500 per year. In a good year, you might earn $8,000. So basically, the wage increase for workers that harvest for Taco Bell would maybe put them at this country's poverty level.
In the final analysis, Taco Bell's branding was really at risk of being branded as uncool in the eyes of a lot of their consumers.
Back in Immokalee a few months later, more than 50 students, activists, and other allies gathered to reflect on the victory and plan the next steps. Sean Sellers is one of the Student Farmworkers Alliance members who lives and works full-time in Immokalee, sharing an office with the CIW.
For a company that spends as much money on advertising and publicity as they do, image is everything, and Taco Bell is going to do next to everything in their power to make sure that the image is a positive one.
Patrick Rainsboro works with Smart Meme. He came to the week-long Encuentro to conduct workshops on branding and messaging, two things corporations spend billions on, but he says the workers and their allies were able to counter by telling their own story and redefining the issues.
They really were able to put a human face on the story of globalization and who the real impacted communities were, and provided such an incredible example to so many folks who were struggling to figure out how to do global justice work in the context of challenging these sort of faceless financial institutions and connect it with on-the-ground struggles in communities both in the global south and in the global north.
Doyle Canning also works with Smart Meme.
One of the key memes of the Taco Bell boycott and of the CIW and their work is not just boot the bell and think outside the bell and stuff like that. It's also this organizing ethic and slogan of consciousness
plus commitment equals change. When we do different events, different actions, when we reflect about our existence and the work that we do here, we understand that in order to make changes outside that you can see in the papers, that you can see and you can hear about in the future, the change starts within us, within our minds, within our hearts. In fact, the coalition of Immokalee workers' heart is based on that. Consciousness plus commitment equals change.
The Fair Food campaign has already been launched. Romeo Ramirez, one of the farm workers who went undercover to expose slavery in the field, said the plan is now to take on the entire fast food industry, including McDonald's, Wendy's, and Subway.
The growers kind of have their own world. The corporations have their own world, and the workers are put into a separate world. That's why these negotiations with these corporations and putting the pressure on these corporations who could then put pressure on the growers, that's what's going to lead to a change in the treatment.
It may seem like an unachievable goal, but the workers now have tens of thousands of allies who understand the conditions in the fields are unfair and are waiting for the next target. In addition, as the Latino population in the United States continues to rapidly grow, the children of three decades of farmworker activists are now coming of age, and they don't have to face the hurdles of language and legal status.
Well, I have parents that worked in the farm, picking tomatoes or chiles or other sorts.
My dad, he was at one point in Mexico when he was a farm worker there. He was involved with the workers' movement there. And when
my dad was also a migrant farm worker. He's always told us stories about what it was like in the fields.
How he felt that as an immigrant, he was being oppressed in this country.
My family is a farm working family. I decided I want to become educated on the issues so I can make a difference.
Well, I just don't like having to get calls and letters from home and others telling me what happened to my family out in the fields.
We all went through the fear of the bosses, and we didn't know. We thought this was part of living in as a migrant worker, is to be scared. So this is really empowering for me now that I've grown up and I've seen how many people have gotten sick from pesticide disease, and watching my father die and seeing how the farm worker still lives and how we still have a long way to go and how this is part of something so much bigger.
Candelario Vasquez is Cristina Vasquez's other child. He was younger than Lupita when his father died.
The movement here can only get stronger. We're going to be able to start communicating with the person behind the curtains, you know, for once. Due to all this, like, media and everything, we've figured it out, you know, like, we've kind of seen what's behind the curtain now.
I am different. I don't walk in there and I don't look like a farm worker. I have a better vocabulary as far as someone that hasn't had an opportunity to go to school. What I bring is my experience coming from both sides, and to still have my consciousness about where my parents started from and being able to respect that and share my emotions, what is my experience, I think is powerful, because here you have someone who might, you know, looks kind of hip and things like that, but then you hear that person share a story about their father, about their mother, about the respect that they have for these people, and it makes you think twice. And what I say to the farm workers that are involved with the CIW is that I respect them, that I'm here to always remember them and remember my father, because as soon as you stop remembering and as soon as you disconnect yourself from that, I know for me, then my life has no purpose. My father's memory isn't as strong.
The only thing that we know for sure is that we are not willing to cross our arms, seeing how our future is being stolen from us. We are determined to build this future, and we know that we are not alone. So the fight is promised.
Today's documentary on the Coalition of Immokalee Workers was produced by Andrew Stelzer and Shannon Young. Tune in tomorrow for our regular newscast. FSRN is a worker-run collective.